Maximizing Your Children's Sunday School Curriculum by Brother Billy Willis is the ministry session we're about to hear. Brother Willis oversees the Children's Ministry Department at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Well, this session is Maximizing Your Children's Sunday School Curriculum. Take us on, notes are on page 50 if you want to take notes. We're going to take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, 1 Corinthians 14. I think probably just about every week, the children's office of our church gets a phone call about this very subject, is curriculum. What do you guys use? What should we use? Or something about Wednesday night's church service and things like that. And but 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Let's go ahead. I'll read that verse. 1 Corinthians 14, 40. It says this, "Let all things be done decently and in order." You say, why did you read that verse? Especially about children's ministry. You know, let all things be done decently in order. Curriculum, to me, is a tool that we can use, you know, to help teach our children. And I think all of you would say that's definite, that we want to teach our children the right things. All right? And curriculum is also a tool that we can hand to a lay person, that way they can study it, and it gives them more of an understanding, things like that. But I also want to make sure in this lesson, I'll be honest with you, the first two points really have nothing to do with curriculum. And I'm like, and you'll understand why when I get through the both of them. So I don't want your switch to turn off and say, man, this has nothing to do with curriculum. All right? I don't know if I was just in a weird mood when I wrote this one, or I don't really don't know. All right, so Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. Turn over there real quick. Matthew 18, verse 14. Just reading a couple verses just about children. But Matthew 18, 14 says this, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." You know, as I go back, every session I teach, every time I teach children, every time around children, every time I walk around on Sunday morning, I always think about the importance of children. You know, and curriculum has a big part of teaching children. And it, now let's turn one more verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And listen, the reason I put that verse in there is this. Curriculum isn't just supplied just so we can study at the last minute. All right, curriculum is supplied to a teacher or a worker so they can get more out of that verse. A lot of times when somebody gives me curriculum, and brother, I teach an adult Bible class, so Brother Christensen is over me in that realm. He always gets on to me because I usually turn the curriculum into how I want it to be taught. You know, because I believe the message always starts with the preacher or the teacher anyway. And so he doesn't get on to me in a bad way. We just kind of laugh and things like that about it. But curriculum is something that a lot of times just gets the thoughts going, that gets the basis of it. And a lot of times when I'm teaching on the session, especially for children, when I used to teach our junior church, I used to get my lesson together, then I'd walk around Walmart for visuals, like the week before. You think, why would you do that? Because, I mean, there's toys in there. There's all thousands of different things. And I literally would walk around Walmart and think, man, that would be a good one. I'd buy a couple things, you know, and just as an object lesson. I love to use object lessons and things like that when I teach. And but as we look into curriculum that I had to look at the word maximize. I knew what it meant, but here's the definition. To make the greatest or fullest use of, to increase to the greatest possible amount or degree. I think all of us would say this. We want to not just maximize the use of children's ministry curriculum. We want to maximize the use of every time we have children classes. We want the child to leave not just excited, but what did they leave with today? We'll get more into that today. The first two points have to do with preparation before we even open the curriculum. You know, I brought in our Striving Together curriculum. We're working on it. I've already written the second set of the series for it, the lessons, and hopefully it's going to go to print soon. We've already got the visuals drawn up. They're actually bigger than these are. And a lot of different ideas we tried to to use for the next set. But I always get excited when I see good visuals and all these things. But to be honest with you, the curriculum or the relationship doesn't just start when I hand this to a teacher. All right? The preparation begins well before this is even handed to them. All right? And let's just delve into this a little bit deeper. All right? Number one is this in your notes, planning ahead. Planning ahead. Curriculum is the tool that we can use to help bring a spiritual truth to light and make it a usable truth in a child's life. All right, let's all be honest. How many of you ever sat in a class or maybe a preaching session or something like that? You thought, man, that's a really good truth, but I really don't know how to use it in my life. Anybody ever been there? I have. I mean, listen, you're going to leave with 1,000 ideas. And I'll be honest with you, if you leave with one or two that you can use, that'd be great. Because I've been to conferences before, but I mean, man, I love it. And I get back home thinking, that would never work. Not where we're at, all right? So if you leave here just with like one nugget of truth and you take it back and use it, it's worth it. That's the way I feel about it. Because I've been to some conferences, I never even had one nugget. I came back thinking, man, I should have just stayed home. I should have just been time with my kids. It'd been a whole lot better, all right? But number one, planning ahead. Letter A, a personal contact with the child. You say, that has nothing to do with curriculum. It has everything to do with the curriculum. But before you even open the curriculum on that Sunday morning, you've already made a personal contact with that child. Now they're going to listen to what you have to say. You see, now you've been in that home. There's a family, the Jacks family, that they'll probably be here tonight. I think they were here today. Their little boy did not want to go to children's class. He was in second grade boys, Brother Hartzell's class. And he did not want to go to his class. So I went by. Brother Hartzell had been by. I think he was scared of Brother Hartzell. Brother Hartzell's got a real deep voice. And he says, boys, listen up. Well, that little Jack's boy didn't like that too much. He said, my ears are sensitive. So I went by the house, and now not that I had any magic spell over him or anything like that, but now sometimes I say, hey, what did Brother Hartzell teach on? You see, now it was a personal contact. Those kids listen better when there is a personal contact for that curriculum. So it doesn't just start on that. That's what I always encourage our teachers, and I'll tell you this. I know there are some teachers that study Saturday night. It'd be very dumb for me to say they don't. But we always encourage them not to. We encourage them, hey, study weeks ahead and try to plan it out. Some are better than others. But make that personal contact with a child, either by a phone call, a visit, or a note. And on my last session, I told you about the Kid City postcards. I have no idea. These things are probably a couple cent apiece. But we give these to our teachers at workers' meetings and on Sunday morning if they want us to attach them to the rolls. But we tell them, look, just write a little note to Johnny and we'll even mail it out for you. You know, we even label it for you if you give us their name. Whatever you want us to do. But when little Johnny gets this in the mail from like Brother Hartzell or one of the other teachers, listen, they're going to be coming in revved up to listen to whatever Brother Hartzell has to say now. You see? So curriculum doesn't just start when they open this. It starts in that personal contact. Planning ahead. And there has to be a planning ahead. And because many folks, you plan it, it gets done. I know that's how it is in my life. Letter B is this. Lesson preparation. Lesson preparation. And I don't know if it says not lesson perspiration, because a lot of times we perspire because we finished at the last minute. No, it's preparation, all right? Get away from being the Saturday night warrior. Get away from it. Oh, listen, we become professional Sunday school teachers. We do. You know, we can just pull it out. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm good. Where's the Holy Spirit in it? I mean, we do things by His Spirit. If we want change in lives, we've got to prepare and plan. Hey, I've been there before. I mean, the week's going crazy. You're getting home 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Last thing you want to do is open up a curriculum book. I mean, you'd rather sit there with a Mountain Dew in front of the TV like this instead of open up this, you know, or even God's Word. I know how it is too, but that lesson preparation, because sometimes, I'll be honest with you, you open up a curriculum and you begin to read the story and you remember the first time you heard the story or the time the Lord changed your heart when you heard the same story. And then now it's come home to you and the Holy Spirit of God and how it's illuminated it into your hearts. And now when you go teach that class, there's an excitement and there's a zeal and there's a fire to teach that now that you wouldn't have had on Saturday night at midnight. I mean, there's very little zeal Saturday night at midnight, all right? And then you go to class and you're tired and you don't even remember what it is and maybe you even forget the curriculum at home because you forgot it. But personal contact with the child, then the lesson preparation. Then letter C is this, lesson support. the lessons of work, planning ahead. Sometimes you may not even use the visuals. Now listen, I love the visuals. The guy that draws Pats the Pirate is the guy that draws these, all the little characters. And he does a great job. I wish I could draw like him. You know, no, I don't, because I'd be a homo drawing all day, all right? But you know what? Some Sundays you may say, hey, you know what? I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants me to use something else and change it. There is, I'll never forget this. I was a public school kid. I didn't go start going to Christian school until in seventh grade. And I remember I was in public school. One of the teachers, I don't even remember her name. I just remember what she did. She used an object lesson. She says, the kid that's the best throughout the year is going to win this basketball. And it was just a cheap rubber basketball, and she put it up on the top shelf. I remember that. I still remember that. You know, years after it had passed. You see, it wasn't some great visual. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if the lady was saved. She wasn't Holy Spirit filled or anything like that, but I remember that as a child. I mean, I remember it now, that. What can God use this coming Sunday in that children's class that can help prepare? And you say, well, I don't teach a children's class, but I help prepare. Hey, when you get back, encourage your, and maybe even call your teacher and say, hey, I just want to help you if I possibly can. Maybe study for your lesson, or what do I need to do to help you? Can I get some object lessons for you? Maybe have a couple boxes full of ideas. You know, some bouncy balls or some of those little jack balls where you, the little jacks they play with, whatever, jump ropes, whatever, just to trigger some ideas. Get them an object lesson book and get some ideas there for the lesson support. It's just not all about this little package right here, even though it's a good package. It's about the Lord using you. Maybe it's some illustration that you would only know that wouldn't even be in this book. What can the child leave with today to help them apply the lesson to their life? You know, it's good about talking about mom and dad, obeying mom and dad. That's like the basic thing for every children's class you walk in. You know, children obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right. That your days may be long upon the earth. I mean, I read that as a dad all the time. All right, Max, I sit down. Hallie, Sadie, we're going to sit down and read a Bible verse. Children obey your parents. You understand that, right? You're going to die. You won't have a short life if you don't obey me. Now, I don't tell them that, But hey, lesson support. What can you support the lesson in here? And it may not even be here. It may be creativity. It may be something that some craft. It could be anything to support this. But I believe with all my heart that before this book should even be open, there should be some kind of form of contact with that child and that family. You know, to gain the support of the mom and dad, to gain the support of the child, and to come in and listen. I was talking to one of our bus captains yesterday. He captains a route at Lake Los Angeles. And if you've ever been out there, there's not a whole lot other than pit bulls and barbed wire fences, all right? So literally, there's one house. They jump the fence hoping the dog is chained up. Some Sundays it's not. They knock the door, jump back over the fence, and get back on the bus. And I always tell the guy, make sure you send the fastest one. All right, and they do. But he was telling me yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, some of the roughest kids you ever meet in your life. Well, the bus captain came up to me yesterday. He was up miles for about 15, 20 minutes. He said, Willis, he said, I've seen such a change in my kids. And he said, for the good. He said, I visit them 2.5-3 hours a week. I'm in their home sitting down with them. He says, and when they do something bad, they come in and say, Brother Paul, I'm sorry. I said, that's not something some curriculum could teach. That's time spent with. And now the child accepts the fact, now you're their teacher. All right? So that's where it starts out at. You say, how do you maximize? I think without the maximize a curriculum there, it must be some planning ahead. Number two is this. Proper accountability. A couple of these points will go along with the curriculum. But letter A is this, decisions made. As you're using the curriculum, whatever curriculum you use, and I know we'll be coming out soon with more Striving Together, and we were hoping to do it. And listen, we're just as bummed as anybody else using it that we haven't come out with it yet. Our teachers are, because they love using it as well, but hopefully we'll come out with it really, really soon. And like Brother Schmidt said, we're a local church ministry. We're not going to put local church aside to write curriculum. That's just how it is. You know, we're going to teach the Word of God and try to minister to the saints and things like that. But decisions made. When a child makes a decision in your class, I think a big part of that classroom setting would be making a big deal out of every decision, every good decision. There's some kids that made decisions in junior camp last year. They were mission. They would feel like they're called a mission field. You know, a lot of times I'm like, hey, you still call it a mission field? Awesome. You know, just a constant reminder of those things. Keep the child encouraged throughout the year. Letter B is this, questions asked. Questions asked. Ask questions. During your lesson, in curriculum, during your curriculum time, don't be so set in this that you forget who's out there listening. You know, so I've seen teachers, they'll open up their book, and man, if any kid, man, wavers or says anything, man, we got to stay right here. All right? Sometimes you may need to pull aside from it. All right? Now, this lesson is maximizing children's curriculum. You're saying, man, you're saying don't really use. No, I'm saying use the curriculum. It's good. All right? But don't be so down in it that you forget who you're teaching. All right? And being a well-aware children's teachers, not all children are ready to be saved. Not all children are ready to be saved. Now, listen, they may listen to the lesson that you have and you've prepared and things like that. But I always tell our workers, listen, they're not always ready to be saved. They're not always, they may not always understand it, but ask questions. They probe the conscience. Proper accountability. Questions probe the conscience. Supporting questions of the decisions made. Letter C is this. And then we're going to get more into maximizing the curriculum. You say, finally, all right? All right, letter C is this. Parental advisement. Parental advisement. Always get the parents involved in the decision that they make in the class. Always get the parents involved in it. All right? Because you want the parents to know those things. You don't want the parents to think we're hiding something from them. All right? When the child gets saved at Vacation Bible School, we send a letter home with them about the decision they made. And it's a letter from me, and then it's a baptism flyer. And then that Saturday, we go out and visit every home. You know, we'll have about, I think last year we had a little over 200 children say, well, that Saturday they got a visit. And we told our workers, look, Vacation Bible School isn't over until like Sunday, because we have a big program and stuff, and that's in the VBS thing, but in the VBS session coming up. But parental advisement, get them excited about it. One of the things we do to support the curriculum, we have Pastor Summer Palace program that is a point system. They made their bed if they read their Bible and things like that, and whoever has the most points at the end of the summer gets a pizza party. So that supports it. All right, number three, finally. All right, not only do we see the planning ahead of the curriculum, number two is this, proper accountability. Number three is this, the purpose attained. The purpose attained. I can't answer this for you. What is the whole reason you use curriculum? Why? Why do you do it? Just to make your life easier? Or to make your volunteers' lives easier? What's the whole purpose in it? Or is the purpose of this to help these young children grow in the admonition and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? That is the goal. You know, and this is a tool that we can use to do that. And I know not everybody uses Striving Together and things like that. I think this is the best curriculum out there, you know, not just because I had a part in writing it, but it is. It's really good. I know it's biblically sound. I love the way it's laid out and things like that. And plus, Mrs. Chappell did a lot of things in there, and she's been teaching children for over 20 years. So that's pretty awesome. But the purpose, what is your whole purpose? Letter A is this, the lesson theme. The lesson theme. The lesson theme. What is the theme behind your curriculum? What are you using it for? Sometimes you may, maybe the theme of your church, use that for the children's. Maybe go to a publisher that has that same theme and buy it or what. And I know there's not a lot of publishers out there now that are doctrinally sound. That's the hard part. And that's one reason we started writing our own, is because we knew what we were putting into it and things like that. But a lesson theme. Letter B is this. The purpose. What's the purpose? Decisions made. And I talked about that earlier, so I won't stay on that one. Then letter C. Is it applicable to a child's life? Is it applicable to a child's life? What Bible principle? And as you maximize, as you think, as you get as much as you possibly can out of it, I wouldn't even, as a teacher, I would even write down, hey, this is the goal today. This is what I want the child to leave with. Like I said before, if you come to a conference and get one nugget out of the whole conference, that's awesome. If a child leads with one biblical truth and they take it home and use it, it's worth it. They're not going to leave with 500 of them. They may not even leave with the memory verse memorized. But listen, if that's your goal to have them memorize the memory verse, then make sure you hit a home run with that one. All right? Or if it's children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right, hit a home run with that one truth. All right? Because if they leave and they're a different child at home, they're going to say, Mom and Dad say, what did you learn in Sunday school? I learned to obey. Do you know what? Most children don't even know what the word obey means. See, a lot of times we got to understand if we're going to use this, sometimes even this may not be written exactly on a 3-year-old's level or a 4-year-old's level. But we've got to think upon that level. And we've got to say, hey, what nugget of truth? How can I maximize it in this child's life right now? All right? I've got a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, 3-year-old at home. I talk different to the 3-year-old than I do the 9-year-old. Because a 3-year-old doesn't understand everything. Now, she's learning, and I'm not saying she's a dumb little girl, but she's learning. All right? So I had to explain things a little bit different to her on those, but applicable to the child's life. Here's some questions to ask yourself about how to maximize it. Number one is, does it help equip the teacher? Does what I hand them help equip the teacher? I believe this one does, and I believe there's some other publishers that do. There's some other publishers that you might just throw them in the trash can and just hand them a Bible and say, go find some truths. Because it'd be a whole lot better to have the Bible than nothing at all. Number two is this. Do the visuals, crafts, and memory verses help support the lesson? We've all been there. We've done our little cue card. We've written it out. And we're going to do snacks and crafts and this and that and the other. Does all that support the lesson? You say, can you have craft time that supports the lesson? Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Can the crafts? Yeah. I think everything in a class should support the lesson. It should lead up to the big moment. You know, what did you guys learn about today? We learned about Jonah and the well. What did you guys eat for a snack? We ate goldfish. What did you do for a craft? We made this little well. See, now you just drove that truth home. What did Jonah do? He ran from the Lord. Didn't listen to the Lord. Then he saw a whole place saved. You see, kids, if you build on it the whole hour, it's not just that 5 or 10 minutes that you stand behind there. No, it's use it and say, well, our curriculum doesn't do it. Listen, it doesn't take a brain scientist. I mean, if I can think about it just walking through Walmart, we can all develop off of it and use those things. Number three is this. Is it helping to reach a long-term goal? What's a long-term goal? Is it just to graduate Johnny to 5-year-olds next week? All right, see you later, buddy. Or is it him knowing gospel or Bible principles to live by? See, a 4-year-old? Oh, yeah, absolutely. My daughter was saved when she was 4. My son was saved when he was 5. Somebody put those principles and truths in his life. You know, I don't know if it was from somebody holding up a picture. I don't know if it was somebody holding up an illustration. I don't know if it was from dad and mom talking about it at home. But they saw it somewhere. They saw it somewhere, and somebody taught them somewhere about being a sinner and that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And listen, it could have come out of a curriculum. It could have been some teacher maximizing curriculum. It could have been a million other things. But I do know this. My son and my daughter left somewhere with a golden nugget of truth, and they knew how to apply it. The day that my daughter got saved, it was on the couch, and my wife snuck around with the camera and took a picture of it. You know, and me sitting on the couch reading the Bible to her. You know, and I came across that in the email the other day, and I'm going to tell you, it stirred me up a little bit. You know, and I started thinking about the importance of children's ministry. That I don't know if we didn't have a good teacher base of volunteers at Lancaster Baptist, I don't know if my kids would be saved. I don't know. But the way I look at it is this. I'm a dad, and I'm the children's pastor at Lancaster Baptist, and we're all teaming up together as a bunch of volunteers. And this is what I hope. I hope every week that my son's fifth grade teacher isn't just a Saturday Night Warrior. And I know he's not, because he's a man of God, even though he's not a pastor, and he's a volunteer. And I know he walks with the Lord. But some questions, does it help him reach the long-term goal? What is the long-term goal that you have? Number four is this. Is it written on the mental level of the age that is being taught? When we began to write this curriculum, we met with a whole bunch of people. We made phone calls. I made phone calls to the children's pastors around the country. A couple of them are here from Tennessee and San Diego and different places like that. We just called and said, what do you want in the curriculum? What do you not want in the curriculum? What do you enjoy? And we just asked a bunch of questions. And then we sent them a copy of it. You know, before it was even printed, say, hey, let us know, all those things. And it's still not perfect or anything. There's no perfect curriculum out there. But I do know this, that you could have Striving Together publications and listen, and your goal still not be met. If we maximize it, we're going to study it. We're going to pray. We're going to see God's face on it. You say, man, these are so simple. But yet, why do we get away from it? Why do we get away from just the simple things? It's not some new organization thing. It's just teaching children the Word of God. But is it written on the mental level? Number five is this. What would the child leave with? What would the child leave with? What do you want that golden nugget in your lesson to be? What do you want it to be? What's the Holy Spirit of God working on? What is it? That one truth. Number six is this. Could I add something unique or inspiring to the lesson? Could I add something unique? There is nothing wrong. Listen, let me just go ahead and get this one down. All right? Let's just say we start in chapter number one right here, and we don't do the snack. It's not gospel. All right? We don't have to do the snack. Oh, no, we didn't do the craft today. It's okay. All right? Because the main thing is the lesson. All right? And drive it home. And drive that one truth home that that they will learn and they will leave with. Curriculum is not what makes the children's classroom great, even though it is a good tool to use. If you want to maximize the truths that lie in the curriculum, then it will all start with a relationship. It's going to start with a relationship. It's going to be putting some leather to the asphalt and going to visit some of these kids. You say, well, I don't even know them yet. Well, don't let a week go by that maybe a visitor comes on Sunday. Well, at least you say, well, I can't. I work Monday through Saturday. Well, send them a postcard or make a phone call on the way to work. You know, aren't cell phones such a blessing and a thorn in the flesh at the same time? You know? But do that. And if you all want to pick up this, I know this is available, I think, through strivingtogether.com. How many have used this? This one. All right? A few of you. All right? And I'm looking forward to the next one to come out. So thanks for your patience. We get phone calls. When's the next one coming out? When's the next coming out? So it should be. But we've used this for all different things. And when you buy the CD, you can make copies of everything and print it out and everything else like that. We always just try to make tools just so people can use them. That's the main thing, is for people to use them. Are there any questions? I know I went through it pretty quickly, but are there any questions or anything like that I could answer?
I missed number one.
You missed number one. I did too. No, I'm just kidding. Planning ahead. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. What we tried to do, we wrote it in story form, so we've used it for the whole, yes, ma'am. Striving Together. Do they have some more of these over there? They do. Uh-huh. I hadn't been in the store yet. Yes, ma'am. How many workers do you have in there? One? Just one worker teaching. Is there any other workers sitting out with the kids? Four kids, one teacher. Okay. Well, what I would do, I would run it, if it was me, and I don't have all the answers, promise you. Just off the top of my head, I would think. I would just run it just like a normal Sunday school class, you know, and some weeks you may just have to sit on the flat platform, you know, if it's a three-year-old. A lot of times if I'm teaching three-year-olds, I'll sit down and stand up, you know, just constantly moving, you know. But you could use that and have snack time. If you could add another worker, you could actually split them in half, you know, two go this way, two go that way, you know, until it gets bigger and bigger, and do smaller groups. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Put them in one corner and the other corner and tell me you're both in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they think they're in bad, yeah. It's just Striving Together. It's over in the bookstore, or over in the store, in the Striving Together store. Yes, sir. So, yes, ma'am. We use the 10 o'clock hour, don't we? Yeah, our Sunday school hour. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. What do you mean? We just pull them out. We have one of our workers just pull them out immediately. And take them outside or to another room or something like that. We're hoping one day we can have actually just a counseling room set aside, but because every room is full, we just can't right now. Yes, sir.
When is your teacher meeting, and how do you run that teacher meeting?
Right now, our teacher meetings are on Wednesday night, And we don't have them every Wednesday night because I feel like if I don't have any material to cover, I'm not going to call a meeting, all right? We have it Wednesday night right after church. We're probably in there 10 minutes at the very most, and because a lot of people had to get to work. And so we'll come in there. We'll have a newsletter printed, everything I'm going to cover, and maybe even a few things I'm not covering, all right? And then it's in and out pretty much on Wednesday night after church. And I used to have two meetings after Wednesday night church because I'm bus director and children's pastor. So we always had to have bus meetings, but now my bus meeting's on Sunday night and my children's is on Wednesday night.
Follow up to that, how do you, I know with the adult classes, there's a accountability with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Do they turn those in? You get them through, how do you work that with their visiting and so on?
Right, we have a little piece of paper, our weekly report. If Tanya can have some of those, whatever we have, if I share an idea we don't have it, she can get it for you. She'll just have a stack of it. We have a little sheet. It just says weekly report. We attach it to the roll, and then they write every name down, whoever's in their class, the teacher and the workers. Then it says visits, notes, and phone calls, something like that, and they check how many. And then at the bottom it says, like, communication, where they can communicate to me, and I look at those every week just to see if they've been out soul winning and how many phone calls and stuff they've been. Yep. Anybody else? These are good questions. All right. Well, listen, I'm around. We're here, so if you have something that just comes up, just come up and ask.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.